Right, I'm back.
He's back. Back again. Guess who's back?
One of my favorite songs.
Kelso's back. Back again. Tell a friend.
Please tell a friend. Seriously.
Yeah, really, really, really do. Two friends, if you can.
Won't double our listenership. What's All That About? A podcast where two cheeky chaps chat candidly about stuff. My name is Kelso, one of the aforementioned cheeky chaps. And with me, as always, is my dear longtime pal, movie line pervert, and co-host Kerwin. Hello, Kerwin.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. One of your best. Always a pleasure to hear your voice.
Are you happy to be described as a movie line pervert?
Yeah, why not? It's a badge of honour, I think.
Badge of honour earned in episode 10, so if you missed it, you need to go back and have a listen, otherwise you'll just think I'm casting aspersion at my longtime pal.
Or was it episode 11? I mean, we do lose our place. We've got a very complicated numbering system with our podcast, which does lend itself to a lot of confusion.
I do apologise, and I pride myself for being all on top of it, but it was episode 11. Anyway, the previous episode, go back one.
Yeah, we should just say the previous episode. That's what I always say, in previous podcasts, because I can't remember which one's which anymore.
Yeah, that's a good call. Yeah. And leave it as an exercise to the listener, the dear listener, to work that out.
I mean, all of our podcasts are like our dear children. We love them all equally. Although podcast 7 was the first among equals, let's be honest. It was an award-winning podcast, I believe. Am I right in saying?
Oh yeah, definitely.
It's certainly our most listened to on YouTube. So yeah, that's
the child we're taking to the church to read the eulogy.
Let's face it, there's always a child you love the most. I mean, no one is. I love you all the same. It's something that my mother used to say to us, so we knew she was lying. Yeah. Because I'm one of five children, and I always joke. We still joke in my family about how I'm number five in my family, as in, we always just joke to our parents. If someone held a gun to your head and say you have to rate your children in order of who you like from best to worst, if you had to, if you absolutely had to, I used to always say that I'm definitely number five. I know it, you know.
They weren't asking you to rate yourself. Asking your parents.
Well, I just know them, and, you know, I think if they, you know, under duress, I would say that I would probably come in at, you know, at number five there.
You're coming in low.
So it is a bit of a joke. We all laugh about it. Like, say on like a Christmas card or something, I'll say, Merry Christmas to Mum and Dad from your fifth favourite child, you know, stuff like that.
That's a good one. Now, we don't want to upset the purists who tune in each and every week to What's All That About? Because I did not respond to your welcome on this occasion.
Well, should I do it again?
No.
For the purists?
I just lean straight into it.
Okay, go for it. I'll get out of the way. I'll clear the front leg and you can do a big slog sweep.
Over Cow Corner. I feel so welcome this time. I'm going to slip into my kimono. Is that cool for you?
Yes.
And I will warn you, my kimono is just a little bit too short.
Uh-oh.
And a little bit too gappy.
Stay away from a stiff breeze or anything stiff.
Yeah, that's where it really falls down. Way!
So when you said, I'm just going to slip into my kimono, I thought there was like a second part of that. I'm just going to slip into my kimono and do some ikebana or something.
Well, that naturally follows.
I actually really want one of my to-do list is to get myself a Hugh Hefner style smoking jacket. Is that what it is? Or is it just a dressing gown? Yeah. Or what do you call it?
I think smoking jacket. I don't know what qualifies a jacket as a smoking jacket, but I know what you mean.
Yeah, I would like something like that, or the kind of terry toweling white dressing gowns you get at hotels.
Right,
I would love one of those. But where do you get them from?
I like to say you haven't set your sights high when it comes to writing these lists, must-do lists.
Well, you haven't read my list. I mean, top of that list is to, you know, take a trip to outer space. Second on my list is to move up two or three places in the favourite children's rankings. So far, it's not going well.
Fifth is to get a hotel Terry Towling dressing gown.
Yeah, absolutely. Maybe with a monogrammed thing on the breast pocket, maybe a little K.
Yeah, I think you need to set your sights lower.
Okay, lower than that. Okay, all right.
No, put your monogram lower.
All right.
Because on the skirt.
I was saying the only thing lower than that is socks and jocks, but.
So you've not owned you don't own a kimono. You're not a kimono-er.
I have to say, I know everyone thinks that silk is luxurious. I don't like it. I think silk is highly overrated. I don't like the feeling of it on my skin, you know. Yeah, I just think it's something weird about it, you know. Maybe I just haven't had quality silk, but you do mean a silk kimono, not some kind of like cheap cotton polyester knockoff. From the covered markets.
You keep buying your silk from Aldi, that's the problem.
Oh, yeah. But no, so do you have a kimono? Is this where this is leading?
No. Oh. But I once did buy a cashmere sweater.
Oh.
When I lived in the States, and it was at a regular price, so no doubt it was some sort of knockoff cashmere or cashmere from terrorist farms in Afghanistan.
So no kimono. Guess what Kelso's getting for Christmas?
But I made a mistake of spilling yogurt on it and then washing it in a normal washing machine, and after that I did not have a cashmere sweater.
So what happens to cashmere when you put it in the... See, I don't know.
Oh, it just... what's the word? It
shrinks?
When it... No, the word when fabric peels, or it gets lots of little bits and pieces.
Pilling. Place. Yeah, pilling. Oh, yeah.
It pills.
It pills. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. That's it pilled like there was no tomorrow. And indeed, for that cashmere sweater, there was no tomorrow.
Okay, what color was the cashmere sweater? I'm trying to picture you in a cashmere sweater.
Bright red. I'm quite a fan of bright red clothing.
Bright red? Were you in the Archies or something?
Yeah, but you know, that's my other podcast.
Sugar, dee, 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 dee. Okay, red cashmere sweater.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hmm. I'm actually the proud owner of bright red corduroy trousers.
Did you ever team the red cashmere sweater and red corduroy trousers?
No, not silly.
You ever look a very smart, casual Santa Claus.
That's the best type of Santa Claus to be. I did pick up once though, wearing my bright red corduroy trousers in Denver, because there was a young lady who was wearing a similar bright red trousers. They weren't corduroy,
right?
It was enough for me to strike up a conversation, and man, I was hitting well above my grade on that night, I tell you.
Don't you find with guys like us, though, we would put ourselves in the thick thighs category, you and I.
We do.
You find that we're wearing corduroy that's just a little bit zip, zip, zip? Too much of that going on, don't you think?
Well, that's why I only wore them to nightclubs, so that the ambient sound you can hear. Especially when dancing.
So I like it to be a little bit more like clandestine. You know, I don't like to hit people to hear me coming, so... You know, that's why I stick to my lycra running shorts. No one can hear me coming.
I thought when you said you don't like people to hear you coming, I thought when you were orgasming, I went down the wrong path.
Well, I don't like that either. You know, I think I've talked about in previous podcasts, so my neighbours are just a little bit too close in proximity, and let's just say I have to, when it comes to the grumble, I have to keep it, you know, to bite the lip, you know what I mean? You have to internalize it.
During the grumble. What about during the fumble? Ooh, that sounded like someone's trousers being unzipped.
Is that corduroy? I can hear.
Well, sounds like Kerwin's coming. Thank God.
No, I actually pride myself on being relatively silent in that area. I don't really think, I don't really need to vocalize it. Maybe it's because I am a singer. I get enough, you know, I don't need to.
I don't need to preserve your voice.
Yeah, exactly.
I do believe, and some of our dear female listener could correct me if I'm wrong, but the females quite like the vocalization.
Yeah, but what do I say is the problem?
How about this?
Okay.
Are those the pants your mother laid out for you?
Like, it's great when a girl does it. It's like, you know, a real life porno. But you know, when you're watching a porn scene, if a guy starts talking, it's like, oh, shut the hell up. You know, no one wants to hear what you have to say. You know, this isn't about you.
Yes.
So I feel like that's the same for me. No one wants to hear my input. You know, it's like I start to say something. Shh, shh, shh. Hey.
Yeah.
Keep it down.
I've ruined many of my own home porn videos by talking too much. Who is that idiot? Oh, it's me.
Yeah. So what do you think of the new Star Wars? Shh. I'm trying to get to my special place.
I know, I'm trying to keep away from my special place at this point in time. Wolf from the door and all that.
Yeah, well, I don't need that anymore. I don't know about you. Like, did I mention it?
We've talked about this.
Yeah, we have. Maybe a bit too many times. Maybe we need some kind of a buzzer set up. So every time we, like, repeat material.
Do you have any similar outrageous items in your wardrobe, similar to my bright red corduroy trousers?
Yeah. Okay. So regular listeners to our podcast would know that we're a gentleman of a certain age. And I actually ventured, courtesy of my much younger girlfriend, into the hot fashions of today.
Right.
I was a little bit unsure about it, but I was talked into it at the clothing shop about, do you know what I'm saying when I say cuffed trousers? Do you know what that means?
Well, I think you should be reluctant about it due to the fact primarily that you refer to them as hot fashions.
Did I? Anyway.
Cuffed trousers.
It's only just one short step away from me describing myself as trendy. So they're basically, instead of like normal trousers that, you know, touch your shoes.
Has a cuff on the inside.
Yeah, well, they're kind of elastic, or sometimes guys just even just roll them up. So basically, from the mid of, you know, you're halfway down your calf muscle to your ankle is exposed. You know what I mean?
Why don't I know about this? Why wasn't I sent a memo?
I don't know. This is kind of like a fashion for teens to 20s. Okay.
Right.
So it's very hip, you know. So I thought, well, you know, I've got nice ankles. Well, you know, if you've got it, flaunt it, you know.
Oh, so bloody show off.
I indulged into, I actually bought a pair and I wore it to a gig, a regular gig that where, you know, people sort of, and some girl comes up to me and goes, she's chatting me for a bit, and she goes, so, what's with the pants? You know, and I was like immediately like wanted to like, take the, you know, catch a cab straight home and change. Because I was a little bit self-conscious about it. I thought, am I pulling this off? Do I, you know how, I don't know about you, but sometimes like my dad will, for Christmas, and he's in his late 60s. Actually, he just turned 70 this year, I should say. And every day, one of my siblings will buy him a shirt that's probably maybe a generation too young for him. You know what I mean? But he wears it anyway, you know, because he's in fairly decent shape for his age. And I think, is that me? Am I that guy that's like, you know, 20 years too old to be wearing what you're wearing? You know, so I don't know. So, needless to say, though, I bought two pairs of them. I didn't just buy one. I bought two pairs. So basically, those two pairs of pants are currently residing in the graveyard section of my cupboard, my linen press.
May I ask, how old was the lady who questioned your apparel?
I would say 23, if I had a guess.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, if she was close to our age and she questioned your apparel, you could reject her questioning.
Yeah, but, I would have. Totally. I would have said, what the hell
would
you
She's in the target know? Demographic of the fashion.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, who the
hell? Now, knowing you, Kerwin, I'm surprised that you didn't realize, because you got your finger on the pulse.
I thought I did. Yeah.
Too much on the pulse. But I kind of guessed, would have guessed you would have thought it might have been a slightly risky venture and taken with you to the gig a backup pair of trousers.
Oh, I don't have, because, you know, I don't drive to this particular gig. So, you know, if I would have had to put an extra pair of pants in my...
Just wrap them around your waist, mate. Tie them up, wrap them around your waist.
I should have put them in one of those, like, you know, those thick, the plastic bags you put them in. You put the vacuum cleaner, it sucks all the air out, so it saves space. Maybe I should have put it in that. But, like I said, when I tried them on at the shop, the camp young gentleman, yeah, that was, he was, yeah, I was completely sucked in. I should have known it was a ruse. You know, he was like, oh my God, they look amazing on you. I went, amazing. I'm looking in the mirror going, yeah, actually they do look amazing, don't they? And then, you know, when you everyone's done this before, ladies especially, you know, when you buy something at the shop and you try it on, I think, actually, this isn't too bad. You get it home and somehow magically from the shop to your place, it somehow morphs into a different item of clothing altogether. That perfectly fitting shirt that you bought, once you get home, suddenly the buttons don't do up. That happens to me a lot. It happened to me the other day. I bought a white business shirt, and then it looked great. I thought, yeah, this is good. Yeah, so, you know, because it's like a business shirt. I always find that the toughest thing for a white business shirt is the top button, the one that goes around the neck.
Right.
Everything else is great. Then you get to that top button, and suddenly you're like, you know, you have to shave off a couple of centimeters off your Adam's apple to do it up. Yeah, so
yeah, I can tell you when it comes to buttoning up clothes, my problems don't come at the Adam apple. They're well below that.
Below the waistline, sunshine.
And very near the waistline.
Yeah, so I had to quickly buy this business shirt for a gig, a suit up, you know, and because my white business shirt's copper flogging, as you can imagine, in this these climates. Yeah, they only last about two or three wears, and you have to, like, put them in the bin, you know, wear your clothes. I quickly put the shirt on and realized that the button did up really, really nicely around the neck. I thought, oh, this is in. Quickly, let's go. Pay for it, ching, you know, out of there. Get home, try it on. The neck, perfect fit. I was like Cinderella. Then I go to do the next button. Oh, okay, that's getting a bit tight. As I'm working my way down, three or four buttons in, I realize, okay, this isn't happening. I'll be using this to clean my car pretty much now. So, yeah, we've all been there.
I wonder how many other people out there test their shirts by just testing the neck button.
I know. Yeah, it's really stupid. Sweet. It's like buying a car, getting in it, closing the door and go, yeah, this is the car for me. Thank you. I'll take it. Yeah. You don't want to take it for a drive? Nah. Why bother? It's perfect.
I can't comment. I bought the very first car I looked at every time I bought a car in my life. Three times I bought a car, I bought the first car I looked at.
Yeah. I always think I'm going to be a top negotiator. Like, the car's like $20,000. And I'll like it. All right, here we go. Crack the knuckles. Okay, so, my friend, I'll give you $19,800. How about that? Deal, yeah. I'm a terrible negotiator.
Yeah, same here. Although, the third car I bought was when I just moved to the States, and I really did have a fixed budget, and the car was right at the fixed budget, or just below. And I was actually in a position where I could say to the guy, well, he's trying to upsell me with extra things, or I was trying to bring it down by $500. And I just said, well, listen, I've actually got $5,000, so it's either $5,000 or I can't buy it, sorry. So
that's what I'm going to do from now on. Yeah, that's what I should have done. Yeah,
I was a forced negotiator at that point.
Well, actually, for some reason, the last car I bought, I was overcome with empathy for some reason for this very young salesperson. It was like his first day. It was like, if I don't make the sale, you know, I've got a kid at home. My whole life.
Sounds like the same chap who sold you those trousers.
And I reckon that guy that sold me the pants, when I was walking out of there, had a quiet chuckle to himself. He was like, good luck with that, fatso.
Yeah. 30 seconds later, you're on his Instagram.
Another victim, the cuffed trousers. Oh, yeah. I think, but to be fair, I think I've got another effort. I think I'm going to make one more stab at the cuffed trousers. I think it was just the particular design of these ones I wasn't too keen on. I think I'm not done with them yet, but I'm going to take a little bit more. I'm going to have to take my younger girlfriend out with me and, yeah, you know, really, you know, test drive these babies. You know when I like the stuff around? You know, like, what I'm like? You know, I think we're the same. Have you, you know that thing where you go to a cafe or out to dinner? The second I'm finished eating, I want to leave. You know?
Yeah.
I don't want to hang around, you know, what's the point? You don't want to get the hell out of there. You know, I'm the same.
Yeah.
Put something on, that's it. I don't want to, like, think about it too much, you know. I'm not bursting at the seams.
You're a guy.
Yeah, I'm sorry. When they put the pants on, they didn't feel like they were going to rip, so put them in the bag. Let's go.
These pants were made for walking.
Maybe the thing is, maybe I should invest in a pair of corduroy trousers. Maybe that's where I'm going wrong.
Yeah, you just need the ear mufflers.
Yeah, I would like to also, you know, say I'm on the train by myself, looking for, you know, trying to entertain myself. I wouldn't mind playing, you know, the washboard in a jug band, but using my fingernails along the down my thigh in a pair of corduroy trousers, like a. I think they could come.
I got arrested once for running my hand down my thigh in a public train, but that's another story.
That's why you're not allowed back in the country.
Yeah, I was wearing running shorts at the time.
Oh dear, where it is. So what about you?
Were your ankles shaved at the time that you wore these three quarters?
It's like you can see. Have you ever been reading my diary?
Yes.
Yeah, right. Okay. So one thing I have been known to do these days is I don't shave my legs, but I do clip the hair, if you know what I mean. So okay. I don't make it smooth. I clip it so that it's, you know, so it just reduces the foliage on my legs, if you know what I mean. So, okay. Yeah, it enhances definition. Yeah, no, I'm very aware that, like, the young guys that get about in these rolled-up trouser things, I'm sure there's a better name for it than cuff trousers. Maybe one of our dear listener could tweet us at Podcast KAK with the actual name for these things, because then I could probably ask for them by name. and, yeah, but I do notice that anyone that wears it does look after their leg hair, as in, like, leg hair removal. I think you, right. Yeah, you don't want to go in there with a hairy ankle.
That could really draw the ire of the 23-year-old fashion commentator in the audience.
But I think it's also these trousers. I'm almost programmed against it, because I've always from the school of, like, if your trousers don't touch your shoes, there's something terribly wrong with what you're doing.
That's right.
And, yeah, I'm just... You know, even now, if I see someone was putting, you know, put a bit of jam on your shoes and invite your trousers down for tea, kind of thing, you know. So
what?
You haven't heard that thing? You know, like, you
that
see
went out of my head.
You know, when you see your Harry high pants, you know what I mean? Guys, it's like wearing ill-fitting trousers where the pants are, like, you know, 10 centimeters above the shoes. You know.
Oh yeah, I understand that. But what was the reference to coming over tea?
You haven't heard that. You know, when you see someone who's got, like, his pants are, don't, you know, too short for them, you say, put some jam on your shoes and invite your trousers down for tea.
Wow.
You haven't heard there that you one. Go. You live in England. No. That's like the most English saying I think there is.
No, I've never heard that in my life. There you go.
Okay, there you go. We're always learning.
I believe my younger brother was fell?
Yeah, fell foul. Role. Yeah, he was. He was a bit of a Harry high pants. Actually, you know what's funny? You should say, I had a real laugh the other night. There's a New Zealander guy, he's a manager at one of the bars I play at, and he was talking about some idiot that had to be ejected because he was starting to arc up with some of the security guards. And the manager referred to this idiot that had to be chucked out as a Terry Toughnuts.
It sounds like a character from Viz magazine.
I really laughed. Actually, it was funny. When he first said it, I kind of... And then, like, 5 minutes later, I thought about getting laughed. And by the time I got home, I was still thinking about it. But then I was actually bursting out with laughter. So it's a real creeper. So, dear listener, in about an hour's time, if Terry Toughnuts pops into your head and you get a giggle, you know what I mean, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, you can check out the Beano character, Barry Bruiser.
I never got into Beano. I was more of a Whoopi and a Wizard and Chips guy. That's a little tip of the cap to our English children's comic readers.
Yeah, I wasn't, we didn't have any particular allegiance. We just took whatever came our way. And they were always, like you said, those yearbooks or almanacs.
Mm.
I think my favorite character was Chalky. He's quick on the draw.
Chalky, yeah, I like Chalky. He was good. Although, like, because I used to, you know, I was a bit of an artist, and I know chalk. I know how chalk works.
You've got problems with the key point.
I did.
Chalky, in that he could draw anything he liked with chalk on the pavement and would turn into some sort of useful contraption.
And people would sort of see it like it was too real. I remember thinking, chalk is, it's not very, there's not too many, like, rich tones when it comes to chalk. Yeah.
Presumably he's only got one colour of chalk in his back pocket.
Yeah, exactly. Like, what, does he have a full palette of chalk everywhere he goes? You know, but I'm assuming most people, because he only ever seemed to have one stick of chalk on him. So, what would he have?
He's relying on his antagonist having a particular point of view after his chalk works.
And hopefully colorblind as well. My favorite was Calculator Kid. Do you remember Calculator Kid?
Oh, yeah.
So Calculator Kid, he was kind of like Chalky, actually. He had a calculator, and he would, for some reason, again, like this calculator that, and we've talked about scientific calculators, but even if he just had a standard... multiplication, addition, subtraction kind of calculator, he would type something in and realize that if he just did this at a certain time, then this, this, and this would happen, and, you know, he would end up getting a £5 note at the end of it, usually.
It was always a bag of sweets.
Yeah, or a slap-up feed of sausages and mashed potato.
I must say, those English comic book illustrators, they could really illustrate a slap up feed.
They could. It was usually a big mound of mashed potato with sausages sticking out of it.
The sweets, huge pile of sweets. Cakes and eclairs. And
or a giant newspaper filled with fish and chips.
We've gone down a real English alleyway here, haven't we?
We have, but I think our international listeners could appreciate it. Okay, let me ask you this. Do you have anything that's a little bit embarrassing or outrageous in your closet?
Well, apart from my red corduroy trousers.
And your former red cashmere sweater.
Yes, it... had a untimely end, but...
Just before you go into this, can I ask you I need to interrogate you a little bit more about this sweater. Did it button all the way up, or did the first button sort of happen around about the sternum?
No, it was a pullover.
Oh, okay, so it wasn't a button-up.
There were no buttons.
Okay, because here I was thinking that you were like one of the members of Boys to Men, Coolie High Harmony, or something like that. Motown Philly back again. Get a little East Coast swing.
No, clearly any reliance on me doing harmonies would have been that cashmere cardigan, I would think you would call it.
There we go. Well, sorry.
I have a boy band and they're all wearing similar things, they were going to be slightly different. So mine was a pullover.
Okay, right. You'd be
the cardigan guy.
Yeah, I would have been the cardigan guy with some kind of like initial on the cardigan. That's what I want. You know, I'm really big on initials, as you probably picked up.
Hopefully, a big R for Riverdale High, something like that.
Oh, forgive me, Kelso. I cut you off when you were about to describe the most some embarrassing items.
Well, I went with my good friend Milwaukee back to Wisconsin when he was visiting his family. That's a bit of a cultural investigation tour, shall we say. And he told me about this one place that we must attend, which was an old, very old, very old school clothing outlet, if that makes sense. And it was...
like a vintage clothes kind of thing.
Yes, but not intentionally.
It's moved on, right.
Yeah. So it was one of the smaller towns I think he actually lived in South Milwaukee, which is a town to the south of Milwaukee, and it's a little bit passed by at the time. So there was, sometimes there's a store still run by a Mar-and-Pa business, as a Mar-and-Pa business, and they haven't quite kept up to the time. So it was a very cool place. It was really large and they had loads and loads of stock, but they were all, some of the stock might have been from, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, but not intentionally.
So definitely no cuffed trousers in stock.
No cuffed trousers.
Well, I won't go there.
And this is also, 15, 16 years ago anyway.
Okay.
Anyway, so he took me there as a bit of a cultural cultural experience. And but I found a pair of trousers which had like a what's that dog tooth pattern?
Houndstooth.
Yeah. So similar to houndstooth, but it basically looked like a golfer would wear these trousers in the 1950s.
Okay. Yeah.
And I thought, you know what? I don't mind a little bit of an outrageous pair of trousers, pair of pants. And anyway, so I bought this pair of pants quite proudly. Now you'll find this interesting is that I didn't realise for ages, being not really clued into this sort of thing, but the they came with the there weren't any cuffs on it. That is, you were supposed to then, like, you know, take it to a tailor or something, I suppose, and have it set to the right length for your trouser length.
What a great idea! That's a fantastic idea. I love that.
Yeah. Anyway, but I didn't realize that. I just whacked them on. They must have been relatively the right length. But that's not the story. So I was wearing these trousers. So a couple of nights later, we went to like a jazz bar somewhere in proper Milwaukee. And we walked into a bar and we said hello to the bartender. And the guy at the bar looked me up and down and said, "You're not from around here, are you?" I was wearing Wisconsin trousers. I hadn't said a thing. He hadn't heard my accent. I was like, I'm just that cool, freaky neighbor you see in sitcoms.
So he took one look at your trousers and realized you weren't from there because you hadn't had them hemmed properly. Is that?
Yeah, probably. Like, everyone in Milwaukee is very, very down on hems. We're the trouser hemming capital of the United States, or at least the Midwest.
Apparently. Wow. So have you still got them?
Yeah, I do. Somewhere in a bag. I even brought them over here to England because they're quite a party piece, I like to think.
I can feel a tweet coming on. I want to see these.
Well, we had such a massive response to me as the Phantom. I can't see why I wouldn't.
Did we get a massive response? I can't remember. I don't know. Did we? I know I liked it. I liked it a lot. Now I got a medical question. It's kind of half medical, half.
Right. Oh.
I know. This is
talk about hemming.
Yeah. So this is a bit of a curly one. This is something that happened just tonight. I came home, and I knew we were going to record the podcast. And I was with. I just did a gig with my drummer, and he had a pack of cigarettes on him. I didn't want to go to the shop and buy a whole pack. So I said, "Can I have four cigarettes?" You know, so he gave me four cigarettes. And just as I did that, I was getting my stuff out of his car. I cut my thumb and it started bleeding. And it actually daubed a patch of blood on each of the four cigarettes. And
right.
I'm now smoked one. I'm halfway through the second one. And I've noticed that it's burning into the blooded section. Now I'm wondering, what's going to happen? Is something bad going to happen? Am I going to turn into a vampire?
I think the quickest way to answer this question would be to tweet Steven Spielberg. That sounds like the premise for one of his movies.
It does.
I'd be more worried if it was someone else's blood. If it's your own blood, you know, what's the worst that can happen?
Yeah, well, I'd like to think that, but am I developing a taste for blood or something like that? I don't know.
I'd be worried if it was a taste for your own blood. That would be worrying.
I'm kind of in uncharted territory here, I'm kind of half worried. But like I said, I've only got four cigarettes, so I think I can taste the blood.
How much did you bleed on it?
A little bit, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it kind of tastes like copper coins. Ugh.
And how did you manage to cut yourself on a car?
Oh, there must have been, I don't know, a piece of metal burr or something like that. I don't even know. You know how you cut yourself and you go, how the hell did that happen? You know, I do that a lot. Mm-hmm. Something that happens as you get older, you suddenly you've got a cut on yourself. You've got no idea how it happened. Normally when you're a kid, you get the slightest little scratch on you. It's like, ow! Mom! She runs over with the Mercura comb and dabs a bit on you and, you know, I'm going to need a Band-Aid. It's not even bleeding, but I want one. Yeah, but, so I just look down.
I haven't seen Mercura chrome or anyone with Mercura chrome on for a good, I'm going to say, 30 years.
I think we've moved on from the world of Mercura. I don't even know what it is. I know it came in a variety of colours. I know that. I remember being really jealous.
I always only saw it in red.
Oh, it was yellow and red, but we had the yellow stuff, but I was super jealous of those kids that had red Makura cone. I was like,
we were red all the way, baby.
Oh, see, that's probably why. If we went to the same primary school and I saw you with some red Makura cone, I would think, man, I've got to be friends with that guy. And then I'm going to fall off my bike.
Yeah. When I'm around his place. I wonder if he'd like my Woody Allen tape.
Nobody did.
Mm. So, Kerwin, you did just mention getting old, so I have a question for you. Mm. Are you ready?
Oh, ready as I'll ever be.
Are you sitting in a comfortable rocking chair?
No, I'm sitting in a rather uncomfortable stool, but...
Well, that might apply. Getting old. What's all that about? You're sitting on an uncomfortable stool. You need to go to the toilet, mate.
Well, I was going to say, at my age, you have your fair share of uncomfortable stools. that's why I like to keep regular with plenty of fiber. Green leafy vegetables.
Makes sense.
Well, actually, getting old, that's the first thing I think that I, you know, when I think about getting old is when... The crap I used to eat when I was a kid and a teenager, and it had, you know, no bearing on my health or weight or anything like that. And you get to an age when whatever you eat, it immediately has an effect on your waistline. I don't know if maybe that's just my...
Second on the lips and a couple of weeks on the hips.
Yeah, because I like to go to the gym. I'll spend like 3 months and I really get into a good place, you know, powering away at the gym. And then I have a week-long blowout, you know, of drinking and not caring what I eat. And it's just fatter than I've ever been, you know. So it's you look at these young fellas, these young whippersnappers getting around.
With their turned-up cuff trousers and their... shaven ankles,
the extra long t-shirts. Ooh, I wish I could do that. But again, yeah, I've got
extra long t-shirts.
Okay, so the best friend of the cuff trousers is the long t-shirt. It's like the cobra to the mongoose is
you've made that very clear.
So you don't know what I mean. So you're wearing the cuff trousers and you're wearing some kind of like sand shoes with no socks, and you wear like a long a t-shirt that's a normal t-shirt, but it's extra long, so it goes down and covers your bum. So that's the look. I wish there was a word for that look, but that's the look. That's what all the
there probably is. You're just not aware of it.
Yeah, all the cool guys are wearing it. You know, that's the thing. You know, and I think I'm still like keeping it real with my the blue jeans and the black t-shirt,
leather jacket.
That's what I rock. You know, although this part of the world, I can only wear a leather jacket for like 6 weeks of the year.
But when you do, it's worth it.
It is. I can't wait to blow the dust off my jacket and wear it for because we had the warmest winter ever here in Australia, or at least in the town that I lived in. And it actually, where I am right now, it's quite a balmy night for this time of the year. It's only just stopped being winter 3 days ago, officially. And pretty much all of our podcasts, I was rugged up. But tonight, I'm just wearing T-shirts and underpants tonight. So
disclosure. I'm just wearing my kimono, so we're having a great time.
I'm assuming that in your comfortable chair, it's kind of like parted slightly. Don't come in! Don't come in!
I'm just crossing my legs slowly. Kimono.
Don't start.
Kimono, yes. Kimono.
I'm about to unfold like a pool noodle here. Keep it easy, big fella. That's enough.
Unfold like a pool noodle.
You haven't heard that before?
Man, we're discovering some new territory tonight.
Okay, so let me just start. So we'll just unpack this. Do you know what a pool noodle is?
Yes, I do.
You do know what a pool noodle is. Okay, so when a gentleman, begins a state of the early stages of arousal, it starts to unfold itself.
Unfold.
Like,
right. I was just wondering why a pool noodle was folded in the first place.
Actually, I have little...
it needed to be unpacked.
Yeah, that's true. Look, it wasn't the best analogy.
It's like those guys who take around their pool cue in a case, and that needs to be unpacked. can't see that applying to a pool noodle.
Yeah, I was always jealous of those guys, you know, turn it with their own pool cue. I was like, yeah.
Yeah, it's got a certain cachet, doesn't it?
It does. Well, I'll tell you, well, we're not, it's kind of like if I see it, well, I'm not playing him. Well, that's anyone owns their own pool cue.
I'll take on anyone in this bar, unless they've got their own pool cue that needs to be unpacked.
Oh, I can't.
Maybe that's a sign of getting old when you get to a stage where you've got your own pool cue.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe I should just get a pool cue and just be done with it. Let's just stop fighting it. Let's just go out tomorrow, get ourselves a pool cue, just embrace it.
So you'd be willing to take a packed pool cue around with you?
I would, even if I'm not
an extra pair of trousers.
Even if I'm not playing pool, I'll just walk around with it.
Wow.
There's some televisions at my gym that don't have the remote control, doesn't work, so that's where my pool cue would come in handy. I could screw it together and reach up and change the channels. You know.
Chalk it up.
So you mentioned the getting old thing, so I'm gonna throw it back over to you. I'm going to play a forehand volley right down the line and ask you, at what point did you feel like, you know what, I'm not young anymore. I think I'm starting to get old.
I've got to that stage where every time you bend over, you groan. And I wasn't really aware of it until once I saw on a, English panel show. That they were talking about that, and one of the participants on the panel, she said that she had her first child later on in life, and she realised that she was groaning, the mother. She was groaning every time she bent over to pick up something, when her three-year-old son was also groaning every time he bent over to pick anything up. he just thought. I was like, hang on a second, maybe do I grow when I, and sure enough I do, and now I've realised, I'm doing it without realising it, because I'll be at the shop and bending over to pick up something, and I'm like, oh no, I'm in public, I can't do this.
Because I can add to that, I also notice that I make a similar kind of noise, whether when I'm getting in or out of a chair or any kind of seated position, I find myself going, but another thing, is this just something I've got used to doing? You know, like you take a sip of a drink and you go, is that just something that you just do? You don't really need to do it, but you just do it anyway, you know? I'm not sure.
That's a sign of getting old.
Okay, right, you just got so used to it. But I do find, because, you know, you get up and do that.
Well, I've got a similar thing where I live in a house with a couple who are my housemates, if you like, and they're both in their mid-20s or early 20s. Right. And when we watch a lot of movies together, that's our thing, that we our group activity, if you like.
Sounds romantic.
It is, yeah.
Are you wearing the kimono at movie nights? Or?
Well, on particularly romantic nights.
Ooh, yeah, why not?
Sometimes they request it, sometimes they ban it. It's up to them.
Put a cushion on your lap, Kelso, please. Spare us.
I like to sit in, I've got a beanbag, right? Ooh, nice. And I like to sit in the beanbag in front of the TV and relax there to watch the movie. But I realise each time I get up to get a drink or to go to the toilet, in full view of them, because I'm kind of like in front of the couch where they're both sitting and relaxing, that I've got the task of getting out of beanbag in a manner not belying my age.
So
it's fucking difficult.
It's terrific, difficult. But I imagine if you're by yourself in that beanbag, so no one's around, if you were to get out of that beanbag, this is what I imagine that you would do, because I think I would do the same. Instead of just trying to get up on your haunches and stand up, I think I would probably roll off the beanbag completely, roll off it, so I'm like on the floor, and then get up from that position. So I'd,
Yeah, whilst groaning.
Well, if you're lying flat on the ground, that's a series of groans, because first you've got to groan just to get, on your, just the first part, and then finally when you do the full extension, it's,
bend back and stretch the back and put the hands on the hips. And stuff. Yeah. Right.
This is something I find myself saying a lot, which I never used to say in my teens and 20s, and maybe even the first part of my 30s. I'd say this all the time now. Oh, I need a massage. I never used to say that. Like, no one ever used to need a massage, you know, when you were a kid. No one needs a massage. You know, you'd like one. You'd love one. But no one needs one. And now I'm always like, oh, man. Oh, need a massage.
Stat.
Yeah. And not a Thai massage or like, you know, a Chinese, because they hurt. Oh, they hurt. You know, I was like, I came here for
a... I thought you meant a massage with a happy ending.
No, my massage is more like a Russian film. There's no happy ending.
How many Russian films have you watched?
Lots. Well, 3 or 4. But, you know, that's enough. That's all you need. You know, you get the gist of it.
I would have loved to have been there the day that the first person coined the term happy ending. You know what we should call this? What? I've got this. Hang on. Let's workshop this.
Yeah, I would have thought that person would be very pleased with themselves for making that happen.
Well, especially after a happy ending.
You probably thought it went, I wish someone was around to hear that. That was hilarious. Not so sure if the person that performed the happy ending would be so happy about it. Like, why do I do this?
They're quickly cleaning up and getting ready for the next one.
And they're like, I really should have stayed in school. Why did I? This is what my life has come to. Literally.
Oh, that's comedy. You've done it.
Great podcast so far. Hello, it's me, Cohen, breaking into the podcast that you are now currently listening to and enjoying with an important announcement. Unfortunately, we experienced some kind of technical hitch, and 10 minutes of comedy gold is now lost forever. So let's rejoin the podcast where Kelso and I are talking about getting old and going grey. Grey hair's going on there too. But it's not situation critical just yet. But because obviously chest hair is oft hidden from the public.
Are you going to take the same approach to avoid embarrassment that you did with your bald pate by like shaving your chest hair and your ball back?
Oh, if I get that precious about it, there's going to come one point in my life where I'm just going to get the whole, all my body hair just completely zapped off, you know? It's like, you know, why do I bother, you know?
See if you can sign up for a bit of alopecia.
Although I did read, this could be something that was complete. I did read, apparently there's now a cure for baldness. I have heard that, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So you'll be laughing on the other side of your face.
Oh.
In 10 years' time when it gets approved for human use. And
I thought this was a build-up to some sort of joke.
No, it's not. This is for real. So
really?
Yeah, so apparently like breaking in a few years' time. So by the time I'll be too old to enjoy it, but, you know, apparently it's coming down the pipeline. Watch this space,
bald guys. You've been owning it for so long, it's you now, so be weird otherwise.
Well, every time it rains, because you know how the look these days is very styled hair. You know, like girls, they often like run for cover when it rains. Now guys do it. You know, oh my god, my flip, run for cover. You know, remember like the fashion about 5 or 6 years ago was that sort of hair that was like messy style that looked like one of the characters from Dragon Ball Z. You know that whole, you know, out there sort of thing. That was it took like you know. I mean, there's a lot of girls that say, if you spend more time in the mirror than I do, then it's a no from me.
And, yeah, I understand that.
Yeah, yeah. But I do. I spend a lot of time in the mirror getting rid of grey hair. Plucking, you know. I got
upstairs
the hardest,
and downstairs.
Yeah, I've got the hardest working set of tweezers in town.
They're due for their 100-mile service. 100 miles of hair plucked. I do remember another story. My an old girlfriend and good friend of mine was she was running a she was the manager at a restaurant, and a lot of the servers were you know youngish people. And as she was the manager, she was in charge of the music that would play over the speaker system into the restaurant.
Yeah,
and so she was bringing in all these old compilation CDs she had from the. The youth radio network in Australia, Triple J, you know, the hottest 100.
Mm-hmm.
And then she told me one night her staff pointed out to her that some of her Triple J Hottest 100 were older than most of her staff.
Ouch. Yeah, because Triple J, obviously, yeah, for people that don't know, that's the, I don't know if there's an equivalent in other countries, but it's a, yeah, network that's just basically a national network, radio network that's aimed at the youth. And, yeah, it was very, very cool to be part of when we were in our 20s. But these days it's completely unlistenable, which is another sign I'm getting old.
Yeah, for sure.
I listen to them and go, oh, it's just a whole lot of noise, you know.
What is that?
Where's the melody, you know?
Although when you're getting old, occasionally you get some wins, and I mentioned this in an early podcast, right into dubstep. I've chalked that down as a win.
So that you think dubstep's keeping you young, is that what you're saying?
No, I just think if you like, you can't be too much of an old fuddy-duddy if you like dubstep.
That's true.
That's my point.
Well, and I'll add to that by saying that I have listened to and liked the brand new Taylor Swift song. So what does that say about me? Well, to be honest, I'm a bit more of an Ariana Grande fan.
Yeah.
And again, this might be a sign that I was getting on. When I first heard of Ariana Grande, I thought it was something that you ordered from Starbucks. But I was...
Touché.
Yeah. Now I'm doing material. Oh, no.
I'm more of an Emma Watson fan, and a sign of getting old. I was obviously at the age, at a time where you had to go, is it a bit weird for me to have a crush on Emma Watson? Because when she first came onto the scene, of course, she was a very young Hermione Granger.
Yeah, it's the same with the Olsen twins. Remember when they sort of grew up and everyone's going, oh, they're so hot. I'm like, oh, shut up. You know, no, they're not. No, they're gross. It's disgusting. You know, they're like 35 now and it's still like, no, I can't do it.
You know? So you know Dana Carvey is over 60? Yeah,
I did know that, yeah. So
Jerry Seinfeld? Over
60? 60, yeah, yeah. You're sort of, as I mentioned, met a million times to anyone that cares to listen, I'm going to see Paul McCartney in December, and he's now, if I just quickly do the maths, he was born in 1942. So what does that make him, Kelso, if you do a quick...
Fucking old.
75? 75.
Yeah.
That's three quarters of a century, you know what I mean? That's old.
Yeah.
You know. That's vintage. I think once you're over, I think it's over 70, I think, something can be referred to as vintage if it's over 70 years old. So
you'll find him now in a different part of the record shop.
I don't care. I will, I would pay $400 to see Paul McCartney any day of the week than, Taylor Swift, you know.
The first time I realized I was getting old, though, was when we used to go to a nightclub or a bar. And just see the amount of young, fresh faces was like, oh my goodness. It became pretty apparent. If you're like, say you don't go to nightclubs for about 3 or 4 years, then you go back and you're like, wow, whoa, what happened here?
Well, I had a bit of a nightlife renaissance after a long-term relationship I was in ended. I found myself back out there in the mix, you know. So I found myself in a few nightclubs where there'd be songs happening and I go, I've never heard this song in my life, you know, and I listen to FM radio, you know, when I'm driving around, I'm kind of, I like to think I know of things, you know, I may not be an expert, but I know all of these songs. I look around, everyone knows the words to every single song and I've like never heard of it before. I'm like, what are you listening to? What am I not plugged into, you know, how do I not even know what this song is? And everyone seems to know every single lyric to it. That made me feel old.
Are you still recording Rage? That's your problem.
I am. There's a song called, what's the song? Apple Bottom Jeans. Everybody in the club is looking at her. You know that song? I don't know if you've heard it, but I remember being out thinking, this is really cool, and realizing as I'm sitting on the dance floor that everyone seems to know the song, so I have to quickly kind of pick up on some lyrics and sing along with it like I know it. Yeah. There's a lot of famous footage of Oprah when she used to have musical guests on her show, and she'd be like at the front going, "I love Tina Turner," and she's singing a song and she knows the chorus, but when it gets to the verse lyric, she's a bit shaky on it. So she does that thing where you sort of have to look around at someone and smile, "Hey, how you doing?" You know, because you kind of don't really know what the lyrics are. I found myself doing that quite a lot. The other good thing, if you've always got a drink in your hand at a nightclub, when it comes to the point where you don't know the song, just take a sip. That's the best.
Man, that grandpa must be really thirsty.
Yeah. Let's just say I spent a lot of time being very drunk at nightclubs. There's a lot of sipping going on. There's a lot of lyrics in between the haze and the hose these days. Did you know that?
That's comedy. The other time it happened to me is when I got into like some sort of argument, which I hadn't asked for at a nightclub from another male suitor. And
the locking of horns.
Yeah, right. Unintentional locking of horns. Right. And of course, the first thing this guy started telling me was that I was too old to be in a nightclub and I should be home with a white picket fence and a family. I was like, whoa, it's happened. I am too old. I was like,
it was kind of like a compliment, though. It's not really like an insult, you know. It's like saying, oh, you should be having an amazing, like, six-figured salary and, you know, traveling around the world, you loser. You know?
Yeah, so, not here on drinks night trying to hook up some slappers.
I was like,
that's what I like to do, baby.
Well, I do mix with people a generation younger than me, and they give me a bit of a ribbing here and there about my age, and I say, well, I'd like to see how you're doing when you get to my age, young fella.
Nice.
And because my girlfriend,
your Facebook timeline, yeah, and come back to it.
My girlfriend's bits and pieces are all where they should be.
Right. She can't say the same about you.
Exactly.
Shout out to Hollywood.
I get changed in the dark now. I don't want to look. I'm hideous. Avert your eyes.
Well, that's what blindfolds were made for, man.
Well, this is the other thing about getting old. You know the thing when you injure a part of your body, and when you're young, a couple of weeks later, you're sweet, you know. I damaged my heel about over a year ago, maybe like 18 months ago, and it still hurts. I should probably have seen a specialist at the time, but, I thought I was still a young buck, you know, just, give it a rub and then, you know, walk it off. Suck it up, princess, you know, as they say. And
enough with the sex talk.
Maybe that's what I should say when I'm at the moment of climax. Suck it up, princess. We'll see how that goes down. Actually, I don't mind divulging this. At one point,
podcast will be my much younger ex-girlfriend.
Yeah, there was a funny moment with my much younger girlfriend. She likes this, you know. She's can be very vocal at the moment of climax. It's got me into a little bit of hot water with my neighbors here and there. And the best one that she ever did was, normally it's like, but she did this, "There it is." That was a good one. Actually, it was actually pretty hot. It sounds stupid, but it was, whoa, okay, that's good.
I like the thing she yelled at the top of her voice. "There it is, Ace Kerwin at apartment 7B.
There it is. If she was French, she would have said, voila.
Funnily, just as hot. Yeah. When she yelled out, "There it is." Did you say, "What's all that about?" Or did you say, "That's what's all that about?"
Well, if she ever does it again, I'm going to go, "Hooroo!" Yeah.
Tell your friends.
Tweet us.
And give me a sweet 5-star review. Oh, we've got to move along here.
Yeah, I got a couple.
I Actually, I've noticed that I don't get hangovers anymore, which is weird. That's almost the reverse.
What?
Of getting old.
That's nuts, because I'm the opposite. My hangovers go for 2 days now.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, well, big ones.
Actually, I tell a lie. I don't get hangovers anymore, but it's because of where I live. I've convinced now.
Okay.
So... I thought I was just getting used to drinking and I could, was becoming impervious, like some sort of Tony Stark style figure.
Okay.
but I think it's all to do with your climate, because when I went back to Australia a while ago and I had a New Year's Eve celebration in tropical North Queensland at the height of summer, where I drank like almost a full bottle of whiskey. Ooh. Which I would do back in England with no repercussions. And, I was I had the king of all hangovers. So it all depends on the, on the climate. So, so nice, cool, foggy London.
And
stay a bit more hydrated than you planned.
Right. And not
tropical,
the full
tropical Queensland. No,
not the full bottle of whiskey. No, that had nothing to do with it.
No, I was drinking a full bottle of whiskey in England. But,
well, I don't know. Maybe it's what you eat. Like, you know, when hangovers, you wake up the next day, eat a greasy meal, and by the afternoon, you're probably ready to go again.
Yeah.
Well, these days it's like. The next day is a write-off, a complete total write-off. I'm like on the couch, Netflixing the hell out of my, computer and...
Googling your symptoms.
Yeah. Then the next day, it's just more about just like, okay, I'm just slowly getting back into it. I have to put... It's kind of like sex. I have to put at least 48 hours in between each thing, or else it's just a disaster,
More of a disaster.
Yeah. Well, I know myself at least, I know my body. Because we have talked about that in previous podcasts, but it's maybe worth, as the topic is getting older, maybe glossing over it quickly again. As a teenager, you could jerk off, 4 or 5 times a day if you really had to. Or wanted to. No one has to jerk off. Well, they actually, some people do.
Speak for yourself. Too true, too true. Now, Kerwin.
Yes. I'm here.
Internet. Excellent. That's good news. Otherwise, this podcast will get really boring very quickly. The thought had crossed my mind, don't get me wrong, but...
you're trying to squeeze me out already.
Who is those he? Were the thoughts
what,
I...
What's his name?
The thoughts I had was, it's going to get very boring very quickly. internet etiquette, trolling. What's all that about?
I don't know. I've been trolled. Can I reveal that?
You've been trolled?
Yeah, I've got a little YouTube channel where I sing songs and that, and... I love YouTube. YouTube is, I don't watch TV. I YouTube is my go-to when I get up in the morning. I bring up YouTube and see what's happening on my channel.
As you clean your toothy pegs and climb out of your gym jams?
As I pluck the gray hairs from my ball bag. So I've actually got my, I've actually put some content. I'm not just a voyeur in the YouTube world. I'm actually a contributor. And right. So
got a channel.
I have. So I sing some songs. I do some sort of relaxation songs. So I sing songs and I sing them very slowly and I sing them very quietly. And it's supposed to be for relaxation purposes.
Right.
And a lot of people feel like it's their duty to tell me what I'm doing wrong via the YouTube comments section. Yeah, so, I've just gone to my YouTube page, I've found the guy. This is what he wrote. So the first comment, this is the first comment, he wrote, "This is really fucking creepy." That's what he wrote,
Right.
And then the next person wrote, "Really well done, keep up the good work." So thank you, really like you. And then someone replied to the first guy who wrote, "This is really fucking creepy." And he went, he said, "This is pretty nice, but also pretty creepy." So two different guys,
So you got a negative, a positive, then a right in the middle.
Yeah, I don't know what to make of this. So, I mean, you're more of a computer guy than me. You live on the online world more than I do. have you ever been trolled?
I'm an active member of Imgur, which is a website or app on your phone where you can add like little posts, like little funny images or a funny moving GIF or something like that.
Okay.
And, I've been trolled once or twice. In fact, once because you can, all people on there can also send you messages.
Okay.
Right. So I don't know what one of my posts or one of my comments on Imgur sparked this, but I got a message from some other user, like a private message that just said, go kill yourself. I was like, what? I've heard about this sort of stuff happening, but this is the first time ever. This is amazing.
Oh,
this
wow. That's a bit rude.
So, really, it kind of freaked me out, obviously, just to start with.
Right. Yourself.
So, well, this is uncalled for. But then, of course, I thought, okay, hang on. What was really annoying, though, is that I had no information as to why I should go kill myself or what comment or post I had made that would result in some stranger somewhere in the world suggesting that I commit suicide. Anyway, so I thought, I'm not going to, this is too good to turn down. And also, thinking as a good imager, I thought if I, start a bit of a chat with this guy, I'm going to troll him back and see if I can get sort of like a chat, which I could then turn back into a post back on Imgur to get some fake internet points. So I'm just bringing it up, so bear with me, because I thought I did quite well at trolling him back. And so I'd like to read out the chat.
Okay.
Right, so I just got this message that said, kill yourself.
Okay.
So I messaged back and I said, will do, any preferred method? And I didn't hear anything back, so I said, should I wait to hear from you or just go ahead and kill myself in a fashion I choose? Still nothing, right? And I'm like, oh, this sucks. I'm not going to post this on Imgur. This is going to be rubbish. So then I posted again after like another day. I'm worried. I haven't heard from you. Are you okay? Still nothing. So the next day, I sent another message. Please tell me you're okay. Still nothing. So then eventually, the last thing I typed and just the last thing in the conversation was, I've tracked down your mother on Facebook and asked her to check the basement to see if you're okay. She's worried you may have choked on cookie dough. I was like, nothing back. I mean, come on. Play fair. If you're going to troll me, at least let me troll you a little bit back.
Well, I suspect he read the first few things you wrote and went and killed himself. I think that was probably what happened. He was like, I can't compete with this. So just want
to... Do you like that I got a couple of stabs in right at the end?
Yeah.
I didn't realize it wasn't going anywhere. So like, I basically said, you live in your basement and you eat all the cookie dough. Fuck you, pal.
Yeah.
Okay?
Getting that in here.
Listen.
But, once I haven't, this is on one of my videos, but once I commented on a video and it was just basically me trying to be funny, because that's what I do when I don't troll people. I just try to make a funny comment, you know, if I can.
Yeah, kind of like on this podcast.
Yeah, kind of. And then I kept getting notifications of people replied to my, my comment, as you do. So I kept reading this thing, and these two people, I don't know where they're from, I made a comment on just a general video as a funny comment, and a back and forth that lasted about 20 messages. It basically ended up being like an argument about Donald Trump. You know, it had nothing to do. I think I commented on a live the band Toto, a concert about Toto. And I made some funny thing about, are we in Kansas yet or something like that, you know. And then someone took up the Kansas thing. Oh, you're probably a redneck. And next thing you know, it like, and this is all from my original comment. And they just went,
So what you're saying is, as a result of your actions on the internet, someone else got trolled.
Yeah, I started off this trolling, I got the ball trolling. basically.
Yes.
That was a terrible pun. But it was terrible.
I went over my head. That's quite good. I'm going to pay that. I'm not going to say that's comedy. But
it wasn't quite there. It was like halfway there.
That's in the direction of comedy.
But that's what I love about YouTube, because, and things like that, but mainly YouTube, even though it really does give a platform for idiots, I actually kind of like it. I like that it's completely... It's just people's, whatever on their mind, they just blah, you know, it's just there, you know. I kind of find it interesting. As long as it's not directed at me, that hurts when it's directed at you, you know. We can laugh it off now, but when that guy first wrote, "This is really fucking creepy," I was actually quite upset, you know.
Yeah.
It was ringing in my ears.
Someone suggested to me that I should end my life. Completely unwarranted.
Didn't someone also suggest that a joke that you posted? Tell me how that went again. You wrote a joke and someone replied to that joke.
Yeah. I've had two bad experiences with writing jokes on Reddit R jokes.
Reddit R jokes. Okay, all right. You're really asking for it there.
No, it's... Don't be mistaken. It doesn't mean rated R jokes. Just the subreddit jokes.
No, I just mean just that you're taking your material to Reddit. You're really
really pushing the boat out.
Tough there. Crowd, really, yeah.
inviting trolls, shall we say? I wonder if I can find them. Probably not. It would probably take too long. But the first time I. actually, it's probably worth me finding them. But the first time I posted a joke...
Well, tell us the joke as well. Like this guy.
I have to look it up to find it.
Okay, well, I don't mind waiting because...
I think it was one of my jokes where I said, you know, my girlfriend said, "Have you seen Ed Sheeran live?" And my response is, "Yes, but I think he's better milking cows."
Right, yes. Classic Kelso.
Obvious pun on Ed Sheeran... sheep instead of Ed Sheeran.
Well, not the first time you told that joke, because remember when you first told me that joke, I got it wrong and then went telling it to other people completely a different way.
So what was the way you were telling it? Because I don't understand.
Because you were making a pun of his surname Sheeran, as he's shearing sheep, right? Mm-hmm. And I sort of retold it as, "Hey, did you see Ed Sheeran's, you know, singing his song on TV?" And I went, "Yeah, but he's much better milking cows," or whatever the hell it was, you know. And yeah, believe me, I was getting a lot of blank stares. And I remember thinking it was a lot funny when you told me. I don't know what have I done wrong there? I probably was.
Well, the thing is, because you cracked up and said that was a really good original joke, and you were paying me great compliments because you go, "Well, that's, you know, it's so really up to good. Date. It's obvious that you wrote it." I was like, "Man, he really gets that this is ace. Really going to work on my comedy stand-up routine now." Right. And you didn't get out of fucking at all.
That was it. I must have slept on it and then got up the next day and it was like an internal kind of Chinese whispers. Or what are they?
Internal Chinese whispers.
What are they called, Chinese whispers now? There's a better way to say that. There's another.
Oh.
Because you can't say Chinese whispers anymore, even though I've said it like 3 times in the last 20 seconds. No, it's called telephone. Telephones doesn't quite have the same thing, you know.
I don't think that is a new thing, because I think that's what they used to call it when I was at preschool in 1981. But anyway, right. So I found the post.
Okay.
So my post reads: "My girlfriend asked me, 'How awesome is Ed Sheeran?'"
Ed Sheeran.
I said, "He's okay, but I think he's better at milking cows." Right. Right, that's the joke.
Yes.
Right, that's my best joke. So if you don't get it, all bets are off. Right. Anyway, so some chap called "I Look Like a Daniel" replied.
Are you outing him? You're putting him out there.
I am.
Okay. Well, he deserves it. Straight up.
Why?
Okay. You're right.
He replies, "Your joke is terrible. Your girlfriend is a whore, and may God have mercy on your soul."
Oh my God! Well, he got two things right, but your girlfriend's not a whore.
No, I don't even know.
That's a bit rough. Yeah, he doesn't know you.
Yeah. If I had one, she would be a whore. Total whore.
Yeah, absolutely. It'd be the first thing.
Uh, luckily, he did make a grammatical error. And instead of saying, may God have mercy on your soul, he actually spelt soul as in the sole of your shoe.
Right. He really left himself open there.
So luckily, some other Redditor user came in and said, keep his whore feet out of this. So he did get his comeuppance. And then someone else said, I don't think his shoes need saving. I may be wrong, though.
Oh, the people of Reddit came to your rescue. I mean, that's nice. That's nice.
Yeah. Anyway, then the second time I posted a joke on the on the subreddit, our jokes. Our I should have learnt my lesson.
Right.
So this joke is very similar to the Ed Sheeran joke. My girlfriend asked, have you seen an Andy Serkis performance?
Right.
I said, yes, but the clowns sort of scare me.
Okay.
Right. Which I think is just as good. It's the same joke, but it's just as good.
Okay, yeah.
And someone made a post just sending me to referring to me to another subreddit, which was Comedy Graveyard.
Oh, that's harsh. That's rude. That is rude, you know. So, I mean, we're the kind of people like, you know, I don't take criticism very well, you know, in real life. And, you know, have you ever been insulted in person in a way that's really stayed with you?
Ooh.
Like,
I mean, apart from that time at the nightclub where the guy said I should be home with the family and a white picket fence.
Well,
I could understand the family part, but the white picket fence, man, that really got to me.
Because for me, it hits my ear like a compliment, you know. I don't know. He probably, you know, given an opportunity to rethink that. I'm sure he'd come up with something better. Should be at home with your wife in a white picket fence, you know.
I remember once I was on a kind of a, let's call it an adult-friendly video chat service.
Okay. Let's call it that. Okay.
Let's call it. So there was a big room where you can put up your webcam, and then there's a big chat where everyone's like chatting in a public sense.
Oh yeah, I think I know the kind of thing you mean. Yeah, yeah.
Sexy theme. Sexy. And like people can turn on your camera or turn it off. Blah blah blah.
Yeah.
So I had my camera on. I wasn't showing my face. I was showing from my chin down. I had my shirt off, and I've got pectorals, something resembling pectorals. Let's say my chest, as I thought, resembled pectorals more than as one user in the chat room described them as man boobs.
I was going to say, you're making great paints and not saying man boobs, but there we go. So
yeah, okay. Well, that was the insult. That But luckily, another user, I love big cocks.
Leapt to your defense.
Leapt to my defense.
Right.
So shout out to I Love Big Cocks.
I wonder what he's doing now.
Oh no. That's true. Yeah, so that was an insult that got to. I'm sure there must be others. I'm going to need some thinking time. Have you got any insults that?
I do. Now this is one that has stayed with me, and it's weird because as the years roll on, it kind of actually gets to me more and more. I remember saying to I can't remember the guy's name. Yeah, he was one of those guys that has really small shoulders. And I kind of made a casual comment about his small shoulders and something. He goes, well, at least I don't have little knees. That's what he said to me. I'm like, little knees?
Cut to the quick.
And I looked down at my knees and I'm like, little knees? What does that even mean? Who's got little knees, you know? And then ever since then, I've been noticing that guys do sometimes have really big knee bones. And I'm thinking, am I on the other side of the bell curve when it comes to knees? I never really... Here I am obsessing about all these things. Now suddenly I've got to worry about my kneecaps, you know. I have to go to a plastic surgeon. Can I get a kneecap extension or enhancement? he says I've got little knees. I mean, what the hell? And look, you can see I'm getting worked up about it even now. And this was 20 years ago, you know. So
yeah, really cut to the quick.
Yeah, I was like, wow. I mean, he could have just said you're ugly or, you know, you got a fat face. But he went, I've got little knees. And I was like, I remember laughing and I've got little knees. And that's a stupid thing to say. Is that all you got? And you know, Years later, I'm thinking about it. I'm looking down. I still look down at my knees and go, oh, if I only had bigger knees, life would be so different.
Didn't you get called Skippy once?
Oh, because we're white Australians. Is that what that means?
Yeah.
Yeah, because
I think that's the story you told me.
Well, yeah, we did get called Skippy. And the thing is, I don't know. And you know how some people like of other ethnicities get really riled up about being called certain names? I got to admit that there's not too many. I mean, there isn't any name that someone could call me for being white that actually really annoys me. You know?
Well, it's like when English people think it's disparaging to refer to Australians as convicts. I always think, like, if anyone ever called me a convict, I'd say, yeah, well, who had the last laugh there? You stayed behind on this, like, foggy island and sent us off to, like, a sunny paradise. Thanks very much.
Idiot. Yeah, joke's on you, you know. Even though, but I have to admit, I'd trade it all for bigger knees.
Somebody you'd else. Rather be you'd rather be a happy, big-kneed Yorkshireman.
Absolutely, any day. I'm going to do for dear list. I'm going to tweet my knee, and I want to get some feedback on is my knee size. Maybe we could have it like set up our own little website, ratemyknees.com. Actually, maybe that's what we should do, because we're talking about trolling and internet stuff. Maybe you and I'm not sure if this site still exists. Remember Rate My Girlfriend? Remember that thing where you could just put up a picture of your girlfriend and people rate your girlfriend 1 to 10 and then move on to the next photo? Do you remember that thing?
No, we've talked about it on an earlier podcast. Hot or not?
Yes, yeah. I reckon we take a recent photo of ourselves. Let's do a little thing. You know, not in competition with each other, but just purely experimental. We should put up a photo of ourselves to if there is still a hot or not site and see what happens, and we can collate the results and see how we go.
Yeah, it kind of sounds like it's going to be a competition.
It is a bit, doesn't it? I'm really setting myself.
And the last time I engaged in such a competition, I came out second best. Well, I came out fifth placed, and there was only two of us involved.
I'm trolling you right now, aren't I? I'm totally trolling you. I am.
You're not even anonymous.
Hey, I'm still sort of hurting about my little knees comment. Stroking my knees as we talk.
I mean, I am in possession, dear listener, of two very large knees, so you can imagine my feeling of superiority.
Rate my knee. Yeah. Could be a bit bigger. Yeah.
I like how you called it singular, rate my knee.
You know, I'm assuming it's, symmetrical, you know.
Well, to be fair, if it's just rate my knee, then at least amputees could get involved.
Yeah, true. But if you've got asymmetrical...
Single amputees.
Yeah. If you've got asymmetrical knees, you've got bigger problems than, going on rate my knee.
I just rewatched that movie with Vince Vaughn and Jon Favreau's Swingers.
Oh, great movie. Yes, love that movie. Absolutely.
Classic movie. We're talking about insults. What's all that about? And trolling, but insults. In that movie, is fucking hilarious, is that whenever they see someone they don't quite like, they call them by the name of a band that they resemble. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah, okay.
And he's like, they meet that gang in the car park, and he says, what's your fucking problem, Cypress Hill?
Yeah, was it House of Pain? Fuck you, House of Pain.
Yeah, I think it was
House of Pain. Hey, it's an easy mistake, mate, you know.
I've got this bit of a fantasy. If I ever like have any sort of a bad interaction with a young kid on a London bus, which is more than likely to happen, I'm going to say, "What's your problem, Harry Potter?" I think that'd be hilarious.
And a 7-foot black guy just knocks you down to the ground. Harry Potter.
I think I was working up to doing that bit, and you've taken it from me. That's great.
Oh, well, sorry, you just set him up like knock him down. You know.
I just say, look, I ain't got no problem with you at all, Evander Holyfield. Oh, that doesn't work.
Well, because I'm a bald guy, you know, and I like to think I look like Hollywood action superstar Jason Statham. But But in reality, I kind of look more like the lead singer of Smashing Pumpkins, Billy Corgan.
the second half of the second half of Little Britain.
Little Britain. You just super see what I was about to say. Okay,
so, you know,
I just got fucking burned. Okay, so what I was going to say about Jason Statham and Billy Corgan, that's my range. Anywhere between Jason Statham and Billy Corgan, I'll accept. Every now and again, someone will say something like Moby. I'm like, Moby? That's rude.
Oh, man.
That's rude. You know, that's Moby, you know what? I think it's great.
I'm a Moby fan forever.
Well, yeah, good for you, but like, you know, when you're a bull guy and, you know, I'm in shape, I don't wear glasses, you know, someone calls you Moby, you know, that's just rude, you know, and you know what, it's racist as well, because as Larry David, you know, it's a hate crime to say that, you know.
We've talked about being trolled. Have you ever trolled anyone yourself?
Oh, not really, because, I mean, I don't believe in, you know, mystical crap, but I kind of, you know, the karma thing, if it, you know, more in a real sense, I kind of think if you dish it out, you should be able to take it. And I guess I'm not really good at taking it, so I decide not to dish it out, you know. I mean, when someone has a go at me, sure, like, I'll load up and give them both barrels. But, not one of the...
Live in their mother's basement and eating cookie goat.
Yeah, exactly. Well, he did ask for it, but... and hey, look, I haven't lived in my mother's basement, but cookie dough is delicious. Let's not ignore that important point. I can't bring myself to do it because there's no reason for it. I kind of live my life that way, you know. I just don't like, just hurting someone's feelings just for the sake of it, you know. So I don't mind bringing people down a peg or two if they deserve it. But, yeah, not really. I mean, I've got better things to do than go on YouTube and look at, a video that someone's put up there, someone's made themselves and go, you know, your haircut looks like shit, bro, you know, or something like that, because that's the kind of thing that people do, you know. I mean, what possesses someone to get in front of their keyboard and type the words, those words, you know? I guess they've got a lot of things going on in their lives. Maybe they've got small knees too.
I think it all ties back to the anonymity of the internet. So the same way you kind of get road rage in cars because kind of people are inside of a metal box. But if you're lining up to get onto the bus or something like that, people are a little bit better behaved, shall we say.
That's true. You know, one of my favorite things in the world is to yell in my car. It's the only chance I get to actually yell is in my car. Because you're basically in a soundproof capsule, or so I thought. You can sort of see where this is going.
No, not really.
This old woman ran out in front of me at a crossing, and
Did she run out or shuffle out?
Well, I think she just sort of had this thing. Well, I'm old, you know. I don't care. Run me down, whatever. Do your worst. I don't, you know. I'm beyond caring, you know. Right. And so, you know, I stopped. But I yelled, I said, "Get off the road, you geriatric!" And she stopped and looked at me and went, and basically gave me the "fuck you." You know, this is an old woman. And I thought, oh, shit. So I thought, does she hear me? So I conducted some tests when I got home. I had my much younger girlfriend stand outside my car. And I yelled out really, really loudly, like, "Can you hear this?" And she was like, "Yeah, you can hear that." I'm like, shit.
Oh, you had your windows down, I take it.
Yeah. No, they were up. This is the thing. I thought my, like I said, I thought we were in like a perfectly sealed capsule, but not the case.
You've got that trained vocal range, I suppose.
It's quite a do belt. Okay, so there's another thing where I was pulled, you know, stuck in traffic, and I had my window down because, like, often, you know, again, this is before this old woman incident. Back when I thought the you know, if you wanted to scream at the top of your voice about how much the traffic sucks, you had to put your windows up and no one could hear. I forgot that I had my window down, and so I'm in traffic. We're not moving anywhere, and my driver's side window was down, and I just happened to be across the road from a bus stop. I'm yelling out, "Oh, for fuck's sake, get a fucking move on!" And I look over and there's these two timid-looking people going, "Oh,
oh no!"
I feel like, and I gave them the sort of sheepish wave as if to say, "Oh, yeah, that wasn't me."
I do apologise, old chap.
Carry on with your day. Pardon me. Sound a little bit like Cary Grant. Not really.
Do you think we're going to get trolled eventually on our What's All That About YouTube channel?
Well, I don't want to invite trollers, but I think because we've kind of like opened ourselves up for it because I know I've admitted that I'm a little bit sensitive to this stuff, but...
and we're chatting candidly, so we're going to express some views which might be open to trolls.
Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, if someone wants to troll us, that would be a start, wouldn't it? You know? Let's get the dialogue happening, even if it happens to be... You know, maybe we could tell, I'd be interested to see how much cookie dough some of our dear listeners do.
Our basement dwellers do eat.
Look, I don't blame you. Cookie dough, as I said, is delicious. But, you know, it's a bit weird eating in a basement. You know, maybe go outside and eat it. That's just my advice.
Yeah, eat it above ground. That's all you can do. I did get teased and insulted when I was in high school. And see, I was a pretty happening guy in primary school and high school. Not a happening guy, but I was the type of guy you wouldn't normally tease because I was quite tall, bigger than most of the other kids at the time. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until I was in about grade 10 when I was 13, 14, 15. One of my good friends, old friends from his primary school, thought I was wearing too short of a shorts and then pulling them up too high, apparently. And he started to call me Zipper, right? Right? And I was like, Zipper. What's going on?
Oh,
So I had to ask my friend, what's, you know, because first of all, I was like completely like broadside. I, you know, it was like felt myself reeling. And I just had to get out of the situation. So what's going on? Why is he calling me Zipper? And he goes, "Oh, he thinks your shorts are too short and they're pulled up too high, so you have to like unzip them and zip them up to get into them." And all of a sudden, I found this guy. Admittedly, he was almost like my size, so worthy adversary. Was calling me Zipper, and it was very off-putting.
I gotta say that's pretty good.
Yeah, I know.
Zipper.
Anyway, so a couple of days later, I thought I'd get back into him, and I can't remember the exact insult, but it involved calling him something to do with a tampon. Unfortunately, I pronounced the word tampoon, which is because I'd never actually pronounced the word before.
Oh, no. And,
So you can imagine my, the trolling got twice as bad after that.
Tampoon. Why did you think it was tampoon?
Isn't it spelled with a double O?
No.
Yeah.
It's
okay.
Not.
No, I just made a beginner's error.
I don't like saying the word tampon. It's weird, you know.
Right.
I prefer things like snatch rats and Dracula's tea bags. But that's just me. You know, I'm old fashioned in that way.
I don't know where to go.
Everybody's come to a screeching halt.
Kerwin.
Yes,
do you think
yes.
It's time for... You should say yes. do you think it's time for cover from another mother?
Let me just check my watch. Yes, it is.
What a piece of luck. So this is the segment of the show where you play a song with a bit of a twist, We're putting the call out there for our dear listener. Send in what you'd like to hear, Kerwin Twist, on podcast KAK.
As yet, we still have not got any suggestions. We're 13 podcasts in. But hey, we don't mind, because it means that Kelsey and I get to choose some sweet tunage.
Free reign.
Free reign, yeah. We're going to miss it when it's gone.
No, that was my request. Free reign.
Free reign? I'm not sure if I know that one. Can you hum the melody? Free reign. Oh, free reign. I'm gonna copyright that. That's an original Kerwin tune. Don't take it. Okay, so we're talking about some odd topics tonight. So I thought I'd go. I thought I would choose the cover tonight. If that's okay.
That's cool with me.
So we were talking very very early on the podcast about your red corduroy trousers and your red cashmere pullover that was ruined in the wash. And also about we were talking about trying about my YouTube channel and how I sing soft, relaxing versions of songs. I thought maybe if I could if I could sort of squanch those two ideas together, somehow I'd get to Krista Berg's Lady in Red. So if you don't mind me serenading.
Interesting.
If you want This Is Fucking Creepy, then This Is Fucking Creepy, all right? So here we go. Let's tweak the knob.
Especially if you imagine me wearing my red corduroy trousers.
Actually, is there a way that you could slip into that kimono when I sing this? Because I think that would probably really set this off.
I never slipped out of it. Oh. Well, maybe I did. Maybe I did.
Matron.
Snap.
That's all right. Here we go. Here's a bit of Christopher. I'm going to make this as creepy as possible, if you don't mind. Okay, here we go. Okay, put on the knob. Okay. I've never seen you looking so lovely as you did tonight. I've never seen you shine so bright. You are amazing. I've never seen so many men ask if you wanted to dance. They're looking for a little romance, given half the chance. And I've never seen that kimono you're wearing, or the highlights in your hair that catch your eyes. I have been blind. And Kelso's in red is dancing with me, cheek to cheek. There's nobody here, it's just you and me. That's where I wanna be, and I hardly know. This beauty by my side, never will forget the way you love tonight.
No way at all was that creepy. What are you
really
talking about?
I got a shiver down my spine, and not in a good way, a couple of times.
Well, we were dancing cheek to cheek. I was worried you might feel me through my kimono. Hey, listen, that's all very well, Kerwin, but that does leave our listener with one question.
Indeed it does, Kelso. What's all that about? We'll chat to you next week, and don't forget you could tweet us at podcast KAK with any of your song suggestions, topics, and just general chatter.
Thanks for listening. Do tell a friend about our podcast, because that's how we hope to grow the show. Or if you have time, give us a sweet 5-star review on your podcatcher of choice.
Yes, till next time.
Hello.
See you later.